We're going to be in the book of John, chapter 15, starting in verse 1. But this morning, I have a question for you. Well, first, have you ever heard of LinkedIn? It's kind of a company, an organization. It's like Facebook for businesses. And their tagline is, "Are you connected?" And that's what I want to ask you this morning. Are you connected? Let's look at our scriptures. You can follow along behind me or in your Bibles. It says, "I am the true vine. My Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine. Neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and is withered, and they gather them and throw them in the fire, and they are burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire, and it shall be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, so that you will be my disciples." I don't follow baseball very closely, but you know, sometimes the games catch my interest, and I was watching the highlights of one of the games. I can't even tell you what team it was now, but whoever this player was had made two home runs in the game, and I guess one of them was a grand slam. And the announcers were saying that he was really in the zone that night, playing his best, in the zone. I think we've all heard that, and we can apply it to our lives. Think of the days when everything went right. You had the right things today to say. You accomplished what you set out to do. The day was going perfect. You were really in the zone. A good day to be alive. But I think also we've had those days where we're not in the zone, when we don't think straight. It seems like when our feet hit the floor, things just start to go wrong. We're late for work. We can't accomplish the task we'd set out for that day. It just wasn't a good day. We weren't in the zone that day. But when it comes to Christian living, I think there's a zone that we need to be in, a zone that Jesus Christ calls us to be in, a zone that makes it easier us for walk our day-to-day life, accomplish the things that Christ wants us to do, the tasks that he has set for you for that day. And when we're in that zone, we can experience the joy and the satisfaction and the happiness that comes from being a child of Christ. This zone that Jesus challenges us to be in, that's our connection. That's our connection to the power of the Spirit and the Holy Father. Jesus said in verse 4, "Abide in me and I in you. As the branches cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me." What does it mean to abide in me? Well, simply, live here. This is your dwelling. He wants you to live in him. If you are a believer, you're always in the presence of Jesus because we have the Holy Spirit. And he walks with us every minute of our day, every day of our life. But you know, as Christians, sometimes we forget that fact. We gloss over the fact that Jesus is with us as we go through our day, and we try to accomplish everything on our own. Too often we begin our days in a mad rush. As soon as our feet hit the floor, we're off and running. We don't barely have time for breakfast, let alone have time to spend with the Lord in prayer. We're moving forward. We got to get things done. And by the end of the day, we're exhausted. May we put our feet up and watch a little TV, or we just go to bed. We're not in the zone that day. We're not connected to Christ. And Jesus is telling us we don't have to live that way. We can experience an abundance of life if we just slow down and we remember that He is with us and we have that connection to Him. Y'all like history. You like to read about the history of Christian beliefs, the religion, and how things have evolved over the year, and how people incorporate Christ into their life. And there was a group of people that were very successful at that. They were the Celtic Christians that lived hundreds of years ago. Now, they lived a hard life. They were primarily agricultural. But they found ways to work Christ into everything they did. They had prayers from everything from how they washed their face and their hands to the prayers they said when they're addressing their children. And you have to stop and think that this was a people that was attacked constantly by the Vikings, by the Romans, even by the Irish. They had a hard life. But they spent every moment of every day worshiping through the things that they did. Their lives were hectic, just like ours are today. But everything they did was done in the name of God. And you know what that is? That's us abiding in Christ. That would be us being connected to remain in His presence every hour of every day. Imagine how much different that your lives could be if you spent every day connected to Jesus Christ. If you thought about Him before every action you took, it's not as hard as it sounds. It becomes easier and easier as you practice. But there's nothing spiritual about washing your face or doing the laundry or making your bed. A mechanic like me, if you were turning a wrench, there's nothing spiritual about that. But we can make it about Christ. We can make it about the things we do. Jesus said, abide in me and I will abide in you. He's saying, include me in all the details of your life and I will fill your life with my presence. And that tells me that He'll also fill my life with His pleasures. Because I can't walk with Christ and not have happiness and joy in my life. In verse 5, He says, I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. Now, what kind of fruit is Jesus talking about? Well, first He's talking about the fruit of your labors, the things that you do every day. He's saying your work will become more fruitful, and your job will become better, and you'll be better at it. Going back to baseball years ago, the old Los Angeles Dodgers, they had a pitcher, Oral Hershiser. And they kept showing him on the cameras in the dugout during the World Series. And he'd be sitting there with his head back and his eyes closed. And in an interview after the games, they asked him, they said, you seem so relaxed and so at ease during a high-pressure game like this. And he said, the truth is, I was praying and I was singing hymns in my head. He said, it helps me to relax. And when I pray, I'm a better player. And that would work for us today. Set aside the fact that he was famous and played a glamorous sport and got paid lots of money. When it gets right down to it, he was an employee working for a boss for a paycheck. And that's the same for each of us today. We might not have a glamorous job. Doesn't matter what we do. It'll be made better. It'll be enhanced if we do it for the Lord. If we're connected to Jesus Christ every moment of every day, what we do will be less tedious. We'll be happy in our work and we'll be more productive. All we have to do is remain in the presence of Jesus. The second thing is you'll learn to be more selective. He says, I am the true vine. My Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, He takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, He prunes that it may bear more fruit. You know, I don't know a whole lot about gardening. I've raised gardens. I managed to raise vegetables and things. But I know nothing at all about pruning, except my grandfather had grape arbors, and he had some semi-dwarf fruit trees. And when I was young, I got to go with him while he pruned these trees and these grapes. I had the honor of carrying the branches down to the burn pile. But it looked like to me that he was killing these trees when he pruned them, or when he cut back the grapevines. But then later in the year, when they bloomed, the fruit trees would come back and look alive again and produce a lot of fruit. And we always had a lot of grapes on the arbors. But see, we can learn. I can learn from my grandfather as he pruned those trees. He knew what he was doing. He knew what to cut away and what to leave. And life, our life, should be a process of that pruning. We learn to separate the good from the bad and the good from the better. We learn to weed out those things that prevent us from accomplishing what God has set out for us to do. As we get busier and busier, we have to learn what we need to keep and what we need to throw away. And the process isn't always easy. Sometimes it hurts. Because, you know, we're human. A lot of times we live in the flesh and we want to hold on to things that God knows should not be in our life. But in the long run, it's necessary and it pays off. When you're connected to Christ, God does the pruning for you. You listen, you pray, and He'll point out the things that need to be cut away and the things that need to stay. So what does he prune? What does he take away? First thing is, he takes away time-wasting activities. Now, I want to be plain here. I'm not talking about your leisure activities that you enjoy. You see, God wants us to be happy. He wants us to have things to do. Now, I'm talking about the things that are not beneficial to us, that serve no value and not give any glory to him. It's too easy for us to overcommit our time. And if we're connected, God will prune away those things that aren't beneficial, those dozens and dozens of projects that we take on. God will prune away the things with no eternal value. He'll help you prune away the things so you can focus your time and energy on what's important. Another area of our life that he prunes away is destructive relationships. And sometimes these can hurt. Sometimes we find ourselves in a relationship that doesn't benefit us or anyone involved. And God will prune those out of your life. Now, I'm not talking about he doesn't want us to be with non-Christians. Of course he does. How else can we spread the word of God and tell them about Jesus if we don't spend time with them? I'm talking about the relationships that maybe we don't have enough control over. Those ones that aren't good for us. Maybe it's a relationship where God isn't given the proper place. We have to remember sometimes that a drowning man will drag you down with him. And God will prune away those relationships. Another area that God is going to prune away is sinful behavior. He will not allow sin to reign in your life. When you begin to abide in Christ and live each moment of every day in his presence, you'll become aware of the sin in your life and the need for it to be pruned away. It'll be an unwelcome guest as you grow in the Lord. We all have areas in our lives that we're tempted, that we're more susceptible to sin. Maybe it's your temper, self-control, laziness, gossip, whatever it is. We all have a place in our life that we're susceptible to sin. But if we're connected, close to Christ, he'll work in us and prune those things away. Learning to abide in Christ takes patience, takes time as we learn. But I guarantee you it'll become easier as we grow in Christ and move forward. Verse 7 says, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire and it shall be done for you. See, the third thing is your prayers will become more effective. You know, when some people discuss the promises that God makes in prayer, we have a tendency to explain what Jesus meant or what we can have and what we can't have. Too often they tell people, well, yeah, you can't have that because that's not what God meant, even though that's what he said. Well, I'm going to tell you this morning exactly what Jesus meant when he said those words. He said, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire and it shall be done for you. In other words, he meant exactly what he said, or he wouldn't have said it. How can he make such a promise? Just imagine that. I can ask anything I want, and Jesus said, I'll have it. But we have to remember there were two qualifiers in that statement. He said, if you abide in me and my words abide in you. And that's the important part. You see, if you abide in Christ, your desires become what they should be. And whenever you ask in prayer, it'll be what you should be asking. If Christ is not the center of our lives, we're in constant conflict with the world around us and with the desires of our heart. When we're not abiding in Christ, it's hard to know what to ask for. But when you abide in Christ, you'll experience a change from within. You'll grow closer. Your desires will be completely overhauled. When you abide in Christ, your attachment to material things will be washed away. The truly important things in your life will become the important things. You can pray with confidence because you'll pray out of need and not out of greed for material things. When you abide in Christ, your prayers become less self-serving. You can pray in confidence because you know what you're praying for is within the will of God. And it's for your own good and it's for God's glory. When you abide in Christ, you become more mature. And your prayers become more mature. Think about a child that wants candy for every meal or every day to be Christmas. Adults know better. And that's the same way it'll be for you. As we become more mature, we'll know better and what to ask for and what not to ask for. So if you abide in Christ, ask whatever your heart desires, and it will be given to you because it will be what Christ desires. I love the freedom that God gives us in our prayers, in our relationship with him. I was visiting in the hospital this week, and we were talking about miracles and that we have the freedom to pray and ask. And I did pray, and I asked for a miracle be done in this lady's life, and I believe that God can do that miracle. And I'm going to believe that God will do that miracle just because I know that he loves us and he loves her. But you know, if God chooses not to work the way I ask, that's fine too. Because I know he's going to get the glory no matter how he heals her or whatever the outcome might be. Let's all stand together. As I thought about this and the things that God laid on my heart this morning, I have to reflect back the times where I didn't allow Christ to I didn't abide in Christ. And you know, if I sin during the day, does that mean my walk with him is done for the day? No. It just means that I confess my sin and ask forgiveness and get right back in my connection to him. Everyone in this room is human. And we're all going to stumble some days and we're going to fail. But Christ is always there. And if you're connected, if you're abiding in him, if you're living in him, he's faithful to forgive and continue to walk with you. It's my prayer this morning for everyone here that you have that close relationship with God, but maybe you don't know who Christ is this morning. I'd love to sit down and talk with you, to tell you about Christ and who he is and what he did for us. Maybe you know Christ as your Lord and Savior, and maybe you're not as close as you'd like to be. Maybe that connection has been severed, or you're just not abiding in him. You're not walking with him. I want you to think about this morning how to make him a part of everyday life, of everything that you do for his glory, and see the changes that come into your life. Let's all bow our heads. Heavenly Father, thank you for the love that you do generously give. And Father, I thank you for the workers like the Gideons that are out there spreading that word and sharing opportunities, Father, to learn and who you are. And Father, I just pray for me and for those gathered together here today that as we abide in you, that you will come to our mind in everything that we do, Father. And you'll be glorified through our actions, and people will be drawn to you by what they see. Father,